the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. As Ireland's enterprise bank, we're lending to more businesses and farmers than any other bank.
Hello again, you're listening to The Business. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1850715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessRTE.
Maybe, I don't know, the Irish people might understand more. A young boy dreaming of putting on the Irish jersey or dreaming of putting on his favourite football team's jersey and that crest. And lifting that cup, you know, this is my crest. These gloves right here, these UFC gloves, you know. No one can take that away from me.
This is why everyone's been talking about Conor McGregor.
It's all over!
Wow! This kid's the real deal.
60 G's, baby!
Just last week I was collecting the social welfare, you know what I mean? Now I suppose I'm just going to tell them the f*** out.
This isn't for 3 weeks, this isn't for 8 weeks, this is for life. He's on, partin', I'm getting with a swim. That's Wolf right there, yeah? Zoom in on that.
We're going to Vegas now, yeah? We're going to make the Hangover Part 4.
That's the flamboyant Conor McGregor there, who came from obscurity a couple of years ago to become a well-known Irish sporting figure. He's one of the stars of Ultimate Fighting, the no-holds-barred lucrative sport that's said to be one of the fastest growing in the world. With him every step of the way has been his coach and manager, John Kavanagh, who joins me now. John, for those not familiar with UFC or MMA, what is it?
Well, MMA describes it, mixed martial arts. So it's the only combat sport where you can mix all the martial arts together. It kind of answers the schoolyard question of who would win between a boxer or a wrestler or a judo guy or a karate guy. And that's how it started off in the early 90s, was pitting all these different martial arts against each other. It was a bit of a spectacle at the beginning, but it has since evolved into a very exciting true, in my opinion, true sport where you're pitting these well-matched athletes against each other, and there's very, very exciting fights. And the UFC is the premier organization, like the Champions League or something like this.
That's the organization that runs this particular
That's
style.
The biggest organization in the world. It's often people sometimes mistakenly think the sport is called UFC, but just that particular organization, the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championships, is the biggest league for MMA.
How did you get involved in it?
Well, probably like a lot of people that started, I started in the late 90s, well, mid-90s. I was studying to be an engineer, and I was always interested in martial arts since a kid. And I saw UFC 1, just got a hold of a videotape, and I watched it on a Friday. And on Saturday, me and my friends started headlocking each other and trying to figure out these different techniques and different moves. And it just became an obsession for me. Back then, I never knew there was going to be, if someone had told me in whatever, 15, 17 years later, you're going to be running a large commercial gym and traveling the world with fighters, I probably would have just laughed. It wasn't.
And how did you actually, what was your first step? Was your first step to become a fighter yourself, or was it to say, I want to open up a gym, or what did you do?
Yeah, it all just kind of happened organically. I sort of just fell into it. I'd done martial arts my whole life. My dad got me started when I was 4 in karate, and I did some boxing and kickboxing. Never took it all that serious until I started this, and then I was really into it. I guess when I started off, it was always kind of me organizing the session, so I was always kind of the coach, even though it would be very informal at the start in a school hall with me and a few guys, like I said, just kind of headlocking each other. But I guess over time, then I started doing competitions myself. I did some fights and just to kind of get experience at it. But I was always the teacher. I loved teaching. I actually wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a maths teacher.
That I'd say your mother was disappointed when you decided you weren't going to be one. What did she make of all this?
Initially, when I graduated, I have a degree in mechanical engineering. I handed her a degree and I said, okay, well, now you have that for the neighbours there to show them. I'm off to be to run a gym. And
what
I
did she
up,
say?
yeah, her and my dad weren't exactly over the moon about it. I guess for anybody, if some kid wants to be an artist or a singer, or it's not a normal route to take.
But it was that clear cut for you. You finished your degree. Did you ever, you know, even consider a job in mechanical engineering or apply for a job?
Yeah, I did apply just when I graduated. I went. I was actually pretty close to moving to Boston to work for Boston Scientific. I got down to the last few interviews, and I think it was in the back of my head. I sort of hoping I wouldn't get it in a weird way. So I didn't get that particular job, and then I said, okay, look, I'm going to give this 6 months, open up a little place, see how it goes. In 6 months' time, it's not working, you know, I was going to go back and maybe do a H-dip and, like I said, become a lecturer or a maths teacher. Well, 17 years later, I'm here talking to you.
It must be a strange mix for you, because you're a coach and a manager. So you're in a situation where, am I right in saying that you're maybe negotiating fights for your fighters and deals and the business side of things? And then are you also training them and telling them to watch their diet and go and do another 50 press-ups or whatever it is? How do you do all that?
Yeah, it's you have to wear a few different hats when you're running a large MMA gym. I have quite a big membership, and only a very, very small percentage are competitive fighters. Now, when someone gets to the level of Conor, I step back from the managing side of things. I'm purely his coach.
Are they well paid, John?
The very elite are. I get now, you know, because of obviously someone like, you know, Conor's success is a lot of 15 and 16 year olds coming to me, and this is now what they want to do. And I would always advise the same thing, you know, get a degree, get an education. Someone like Cathal Pendred, Conor's teammate, I use him as an example. That's someone who completed a degree in analytical science while being able to train at a high level. And I think if you're going to do any type of career like this, whether it's being a race car driver or a singer or a professional fighter, I think because it's such a small percentage that are going to make it financially, you should have some kind of backup plan. I mean, I have a degree in engineering, and I would always encourage kids to keep up their education, and they can train at the same time.
In the clip we played there, I think Conor McGregor said something about 60 Gs. So I took that to mean he just won $60,000 for winning that fight.
Yeah, that was they have these bonuses on the night for best performance or best fight. And actually, just out of camera shot, I told him to ask for it, you know, be cheeky and just put your name forward. And he did. He got the $60,000 bonus.
So that wasn't for winning the fight. That was a sort of a bonus
thing for being
the best fight of the night or
exactly,
whatever it was.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the top fighters, and I don't know how many there are, you know, in that top level of UFC, but in general, how much might they get paid for a fight, for a big fight, or earn between the bonus and the fight?
Yeah, anywhere from 200 grand to a million when you add in, you know, like all sports, sometimes the prize is dwarfed by the sponsorship deals. Someone like Conor, he's a very, he didn't study business or he's not, but he's very astute and he's very street smart, and he's marketed himself brilliantly. He has a brand that's in demand for whether it's advertising King Crisps or whether it's in his fights or whether he's talking with restaurant owners about opening up a line there. He's very smart in that he knows that this side of the business, his prize fighting life will be short, and he's ready to diversify and be ready to go into other areas.
And as with any of these other sports as well, any sport really, there's an elite few at the top and then there's a larger number, you know, coming up. And I presume the move into professional fighting is not an easy one. In other words, when you become a professional, you're not going to be getting paid $200,000 for a fight.
Definitely not. What
might you get starting off?
You know, at the very, very start, you're talking hundreds, you know, maybe thousands if you can demand it. But you're going to have a very strong network around you, like a good, you know, your family and someone to help you through those times. Like I said, I can only compare it to someone wanting to be a singer or something like that. You can imagine many people every year try to be a rock star.
So for you, this is a career and it's a business as well. Is it a lucrative business for you in the sense that do you benefit, let's say, running your gym from being Conor McGregor's coach, or is it worth your while financially just coaching him in terms of what percentage or whatever you get?
Yeah, well, I'm doing this since I'm 25. I'm professionally, like, you know, as a full time job. I'm 37 now. I'm 12 years at it. It's really this year is my first year where I've been in any kind of, you know, the books are in the black, so to speak. I opened up a new, very big location in January on the Nace Road, and thankfully, I guess a perfect storm of factors between a bunch of my fighters, including Conor, of course, but there is many others that have got a pretty big presence in the social media. The rise of the sport in itself, mixed martial arts, the recent success we had in the O2, or is it now 3? I think it's called.
It's called 3,
it's
yes.
Going up a number every time.
And what about the early days? I mean, what kind of relationship would you have had with Conor and some of the other fighters when you were starting off? And there probably wasn't a lot of money being made.
Yeah.
I presume everybody was broke.
Yeah. Yeah, we were looking back now, and if I was probably talking to a 25-year-old with the similar ambitions that I have now, I'd probably tell them to just make sure you have a backup plan, you know, because it was kind of a crazy idea. Like, you know, again, it was just a bunch of factors came together at the right time. A perfect storm. I had a bunch of young guys join, the likes of Conor McGregor, Aisling Daly, Chris Fields, Cottle Pendred, all these names that we were all very single-minded in that we just loved the training. And whether it had a...
Did you all share a flat or live together, or, you know, because you would have been... I mean, Conor said he was on social welfare, yeah, and he wasn't working at all for quite a period of that.
Mm-hmm. I have my apartment, we sometimes joke about it, calling it the Ultimate Fighter House, and that nearly all my fighters have spent some time living with me. Thankfully, I have an understanding girlfriend and have a second room that the bed has gone out of it, and there's bunk beds put in there now. So at any one time...
Are they all gone?
I'm sort of like a parent. I gradually get rid of them as they start getting there. But then there's another 18-year-old or 17-year-old that needs my help, and they'll move in,
right,
to replace them. So it requires some understanding.
Sounds pretty chaotic. One of the things that I noticed, I've looked at quite a few clips of MMA fighting, and it looks very, very intense, and it is very violent as well. Is it a celebration of violence?
I'm kind of a stickler for definitions, and I find it kind of strange when people refer to it as violent. Like, violent to me would be somebody attacking somebody who's not ready for it. I saw a clip floating around Facebook, a rugby player, he knocked out a guy, I don't know if you saw it, it was a big rugby game. The guy wasn't looking and he hit him, and then he hit him on the ground. That to me would be violence, whereas my sport I would describe as highly competitive. Like, it's both guys very well trained, very well matched.
Do they get many injuries?
No more injuries than you're going to get playing pretty much any sport at a high level.
See, one of the things that struck me was, and I've watched a lot of boxing over the years, I never boxed, but I did enjoy watching boxing and grew up watching the end of Muhammad Ali's career and all of that. But there are parameters in boxing. One of the things that really shocked me when I watched the MMA clips was that if you kick somebody and they fall to the ground, as they would in kickboxing, Thai kickboxing, but you're then allowed to go over and kick them in the face while they're on the ground. I found that extraordinary.
On a technical point, you're not. You're not allowed to kick it down the pond.
I saw it in a load of clips.
Well, you would be disqualified for that. That'd be, as much as you'd see a kick in the face on the ground in rugby, it's illegal. A kick in the face in mixed martial arts is illegal.
But you can punch a guy multiple times when he's on the ground.
You can do what's called ground and pound. Now, I hate doing this because I'm a huge fan of boxing. But in boxing, you have something called an eight count. So if you get your head rattled, you can put one knee on the mat and then the referee will stop it and he gives you an eight count. The truth is, when you stand back up after that eight count, you're not really back in the room yet, especially if the shot was very hard. So in mixed martial arts, if you get rattled and you fall to the ground, the guy will pounce on you to finish you. Now, immediately when the fighter stops defending himself intelligently, that's how it's worded, the referee will step in and it's stopped. So I can definitely understand, when people don't understand the sport, why that would seem more aggressive. But in reality, when you break it down, it's actually safer because the fighter isn't put back in to get cleanly knocked out. That's the idea of the A count.
In boxing, sets parameters of what might be regarded as some kind of decency if somebody found themselves in a real fight situation that maybe wasn't even of their own making, if they were attacked or something like that. But one of the big issues has been attacking people while they're on the ground has happened. People have lost their lives in street fights outside pubs, nightclubs, whatever it is. Is there a sense in which it's saying that this is acceptable, that there are no parameters?
I would just ask people to visit a MMA gym and chat to the fighters. were so far removed from, I can't even draw that comparison if I'm being honest. Like, these are well-trained martial artists. They're highly disciplined. You're not going to find them out on a weekend drinking or anything like that. They're in the gym. They're training the bodies. They're in fantastic shape physically. They usually have a lot less ego problems than the average person.
But it's all the guys who are not professionally trained who decide they want to try it on like that on a Saturday night and somehow think it's acceptable.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can show you as many clips in soccer where I've seen fans attacking each other. Is that a good reason to stop soccer? I don't think so. In boxing, you're supposed to punch the guy in the head till he falls down. Is that then transferable to some guy hits some guy in the street? I don't think you're ever going to eliminate people getting drunk on a Saturday night and fighting. Maybe that's just something innate in people. But I think what would be a much better thing for those people to be doing is to be in training in some kind of sport.
Well, you're obviously enjoying a lot of success at the moment. What does your ma think of it now?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like at the beginning, my mother and my father would have had all the kind of questions you're posing, and now the two of them are the biggest fans.
She goes along to fights and
they insisted on coming along to the July show, and it was a very proud moment for me as a coach. I had four guys on the card and four guys won, and to have my parents there and my dad tell me it was the most proud moment of his life was really something special.
Well, John Kavanagh, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.